You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Biggs.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, and odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. That's right, Mike?
That's right. And you can... I forgot my line. And we'll bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness.
You all right over there?
You threw me off because you took my "that's right."
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's my, phrase.
I didn't know you had a copyright on "that's right."
I do. Well, if the Fine Bros can copyright React, I can copyright "that's right."
Okay. There you go.
So don't ever say that ever again, Rich.
You must pay Mike a nickel every time you use "that's right."
I think it's worth more than that.
Okay.
It's a pretty common phrase. I feel like people would use it a lot.
All right. Well,
anyway,
we'll have to figure out the exact monetary.
Yeah, we'll have to hammer out the details.
Yep. But before we dive into all of the headlines that we want to get to this week, we start off with a little intro, you know, to let you know what we've been up to since the last time we recorded a show. So, Mike, what have you been up to?
Not much. No, I mean, honestly, I really haven't been up to much. I've been really busy, swamped down in work, but I have been able to play a little bit more of The Witness on PlayStation 4. This puzzle game is unlike any other puzzle game I've ever played. It's so frustrating, Rich. It's unbelievably maniacal in the way it presents these puzzles and how difficult they are. I'm like pulling my hair out trying to solve some of these puzzles. But in a weird way, it makes me like the game more because it's so devious. I can't help but admire it, you know, in a weird sort of way. But, I highly suggest this game. It's really, really interesting. I can't begin to describe it because it's just so out there with the way it presents things and the philosophy of the game world. And it's like tying in like really weird artistic quotes and video clips from like famous, philosophers speaking. It's very strange, but it's very, very interesting.
And frustrating.
And frustrating. Unbelievably frustrating, but in a good way. You know, it's a nice, good challenge, which you don't really see a lot of in video games anymore. So.
Okay. So there you go.
That's what I've been up to.
Mike is stuck on The Witcher?
The Witness.
The Witness. Sorry.
Yeah, The Witcher is actually another game, though.
Yeah, I thought that's what you were
saying. One that I haven't played, so.
So, The Witness. Okay.
The Witness, yeah. You would hate The Witcher, though. That's a fantasy. RPG.
I missed the boat on this whole fantasy thing. I miss Game of Thrones.
Well, just this past weekend, you were chastised for not
watching
Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And rightfully so.
Come on.
Everybody tweet at Rich.
Just tweet
him Lord of the Rings over and over and over again.
I'm a nerd, but there are some things even I can't just get on the boat for.
You saying Lord of the Rings is too nerdy?
No, it's just like, it's just not my bag, baby. It's just, you know.
I mean, that's fair. Everybody has their own special, like, nerddoms that they're part of, you know.
Yeah. I'm more of a sci-fi guy. Hit me with the Star Wars. Hit me with the Star Trek. You know, I'll do that. Comic books. I'm in the superheroes. But, yeah, I just missed the boat on fantasy.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoy a good fantasy every now and then. But, anyway. What have you been up to, Rich, besides being chastised for you not liking fantasy? Because I could go on and on about fantasy and sci-fi and stuff.
Well, before that happens and I just leave the room. Super Bowl. That's been the thing that's been on everybody's mind. You know, we led up to the Super Bowl, had the big Super Bowl party.
Yes.
You had to. It was,
of course.
Super Bowl! Ah!
We had a blast. We played... Well, everybody got together at your house. We played this game, Fibbage.
Yeah, that was actually pretty good.
Which was like, that was the game, the football game itself was kind of lackluster, but the Fibbage before the game was amazing.
Yeah, it was this random app that I downloaded on the PlayStation Network, and it's a party game, so anybody with a cell phone.
That was a really smart system, I think.
Yeah, anybody with a cell phone can hook into the system and you all play the game. It was really interesting.
It was really fun the way that it was set up and how easy it was to connect. Like, I don't think anybody had any issues getting set up. It was a really, really fun experience.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just stole your spotlight.
It's all right. It's all right. But yeah, so that's another game we would highly recommend if you're looking for more of a party game. You know, you got friends coming over, you're huddling around the TV looking for something interesting to do. Check out Fibbage. That was a hit at my Super Bowl party. Yeah, so we did that, and then we watched the Super Bowl game, and I think it's a good way to transition right into our first topic in the first part of the show. It's time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Yep, sports coming at you in your face.
Yep, right in your face. And you know what? That's exactly what the Denver Broncos did in Super Bowl.
In your face. Ha ha.
In Super Bowl 50, Rich. I think we should just kick things off with the biggest sports news there is and dive right in to some Super Bowl recap.
Yep. And boy, man, this was it was competitive. The first half of the game was competitive. I was happy about that. But man, what happened to Cam Newton? Faded away.
Cam Newton who? He didn't show up at all.
No Superman.
No Superman.
No Superman, no dabbing, no nothing. Dancing.
Well, you can't really dab and dance in Superman your way through the game when the Broncos beat the Carolina Panthers 24-10.
Yep.
You know, and the score's a little misleading. You know, you see the score and you go, oh, Denver beat them by 2 touchdowns. But for the majority of the game, it was really, really close.
Oh yeah, it was a one possession game for most of the
game until the third quarter. Yeah. And then even then it was only like a touchdown and a field goal, I think, that separated the two.
Also interesting, this is the first time in 22 Super Bowls that a passing touchdown was not thrown.
Wow. And I mean, that's shocking in today's NFL because it's so pass heavy.
Yeah, it's a pass first league.
Well, because everyone says, "Oh, you know, they make it so that defenses can't really play." Well, I'd say, you know, look at the past playoff, you know, all the playoff games we've seen with stellar defensive performances by the Broncos, by the Panthers, by the Seahawks, you know, just shutting down teams left and right in the playoffs. And the Super Bowl is the best example of why defenses win championships, because those offenses did nothing. They, like, I'm looking at the stats, and I mean, Cam Newton and Peyton Manning together completed what? Like 31 passes.
Yeah.
Together. For no touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
I think the thing that's really going to sting when all is said and done is Cam Newton's 4 turnovers. It's one thing to have a bad game in the Super Bowl. I mean, Peyton Manning had a bad game in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But the turnovers is what kills your team. I mean, 2 interceptions, 2 fumbles, that just, it stops all the momentum that you had going on your drive, and you can't win the Super Bowl committing that many turnovers.
No, definitely not. Not against a super aggressive defense like the Broncos that take advantage of them.
Yeah.
You know, I think the very first fumble that Cam Newton had, where Von Miller just runs up and just rips the ball out of his hands. Like, you go back and watch that play, Von Miller just goes straight for the football.
Yep.
And just rips it out, and that's a great example of them just forcing their will on the opponent. They're like, we're going to get after Cam Newton. We're going to create situations that are beneficial to our team. When I was watching the game, I thought, oh boy, the Broncos or the Panthers, they could really use such and such a defensive play, whether it's an interception, a fumble, or a sack, and they would get it like 8 out of 10 times. You know, you're thinking, oh, it'd be great if the Broncos could get a sack here to stop the Panthers, and boom, they would get it almost on command. That's how dominant these defenses were.
Yeah. Cam Newton having a horrible Super Bowl day. The 4 turnovers I mentioned. He got sacked 7 times.
Oof, yeah.
I mean, he was definitely...
I mean, Peyton Manning got hit a bunch, too.
Yes. They both did.
Yeah, it's a two-way street there. They really beat each other up.
Yeah. But, I mean, for the Panthers, they really relied on Newton to jumpstart the offense. And once Cam Newton was grounded, it was like the whole offense was grounded. You know? What happened to the team that we saw put light up 28 28 points and a half against Seattle and loaded up points against the Cardinals. You know, this was gone.
I think one of the keys is that the Panthers play in a relatively weak division. They haven't faced a lot of adversity this season. You know what I mean? Like, they got up early against their two playoff opponents, and then they were just able to snowball it. You know, we were all worried about what would happen if the Denver Broncos go down early. We never stopped to consider what would happen if the Panthers went down early. You know,
yeah,
what that would, what the pressure would do to Cam Newton. We that was never a possibility in our minds.
Yeah,
because we just completely, I guess, underrated. I it seems incredible to say that we underrated the Broncos defense, but I guess in a way we sort of did. How dominant they could be.
We said it last week. We thought like the defenses would cross each other out as like an equal.
And they did in a way. Sort of, but. For the most part.
Except for one factor. The Broncos were just able to rush Cam Newton and also apply pressure in the passing secondary. You're right over there.
I'm choking my water. Just because the Broncos were so amazing, it was shocking. And I was like, oh my God, I was so amazed and I just choked on my water. No, what were you saying that the Broncos were so dominant on?
They were so dominant with their front four.
I'm good.
Tune into the podcast this week as Mike chokes.
Yeah, that's the headline. Mike, on this week's podcast, Mike almost dies.
Yes.
And next week, it's Rich's turn.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
That's actually the headline of the podcast episode. Mike dies.
Mike dies. But no, now that that's out of the way, yeah, their front four, they were getting pressure with just four guys.
Right.
Consistently.
And when you're able to do that with just your defensive line, that allows your linebackers and your secondary to relax in the passing lanes. And, you know, you're just more relaxed. Let's just put it this way. If you can put pressure on the quarterback with just four or five guys, you're pretty much set for the defense.
Well, that's what the Seahawks did a couple years ago. Yeah. You know, they had that front seven.
What the Giants did against the Patriots.
Yep. That was their key to success, too. If you can get pressure with those four guys, there's very little that the opposing offense can do. Because that means you have seven guys in coverage.
Yeah.
And how do you beat seven guys in coverage with only, I mean, just, it's a sheer numbers game. You're sending out five receivers maximum. If you can get pressure with four guys, that leaves seven guys to cover those five guys. It's very little that opposing offense can do. But yeah, the Broncos, they were just amazing. Just, on all facets of the defensive game.
Yeah. That defense definitely, deserves to be, the number one ranked in the NFL, and having a defensive MVP for the Super Bowl, another telltale sign of how defense was such an important role in this game.
Well, he deserved it. Von Miller, I think, what was it, 2.5 sacks and 2 forced fumbles?
Yeah.
I mean, he single-handedly, like, changed that game in some drives. But for me, the MVP, as weird as it sounds, would be Wade Phillips.
Oh, God, yeah, that's right. It was Wade Phillips.
I mean, coaching them to that type of victory. I mean, and coaching them throughout the playoffs, that defense was just phenomenal. You know, being able to adjust and really game plan for any offense that came at him. He beat the Patriots. He beat the Panthers. I mean, those are some pretty tough teams to beat.
And Steelers?
The Steelers, yeah. You can't underrate the Steelers' offense. You know, they have Antonio Brown. I mean...
I'll say this: Wade Phillips, excellent defensive coordinator, horrible head coach.
Oh yeah, no, he was an awful head coach. Defensive coordinator, though. Oh man, he's one of the best this year.
Yeah. Damn Cowboys alumni.
Yeah, but if he were to come to Philadelphia, we'd be all over that, wouldn't we?
If he led a group of Eagles to the Super Bowl, yeah, that'd be great.
That would be great. You know what this game shows me, though, is that you don't really need a good quarterback to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it seemed like in an era where the quarterback is the focal point, the performances that these two quarterbacks put out was kind of really subpar. Even Peyton and Cam, well, we all know Cam didn't have a good day, but even Peyton didn't really have a good day.
I mean, Peyton put up, like, less than pedestrian numbers.
Yeah.
13 completions for 140 yards and an interception.
Yeah.
Woo. And he was sacked like six times himself. So, I mean, like, I could have played quarterback.
He did just enough to not screw the game up.
Essentially, yeah. Essentially, it's like, which quarterback can screw up less?
Yeah.
And unbelievably, the guy that was half dead managed to not screw it up less. I was joking all week about, you know, he's one or two bad hits away from dying on the football field.
But, no, he stayed in the game.
Yeah, it must be all that Budweiser he's drinking.
Yeah, that was a little
odd. That was one of the best moments of the Super Bowl for me, is afterwards, they're talking to Peyton Manning, and they're like, oh, you know, is this going to be your last game? Everybody was asking him if it's going to be his last game. He's going, oh, you know, I have certain priorities. I want to go. I want to be with my family, kiss my wife, and I'm going to drink a lot of Budweiser.
Yeah, he mentioned that like three times.
Specifically Budweiser.
Yeah.
And I was like, is this like a product placement? Are they product placement? In
the
post-game
victory speech?
Yeah, well, it wasn't even a victory speech. It was just like an off-the-cuff sort of interview on the field, you know?
Come on.
That was super awkward.
Bruno wants to say
something. Why not?
Our associate producer, Bruno, wants to say something.
He needs the money so he can afford another neck surgery.
Thank you, John Bruno.
Thank you for that input.
News bulletin.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he makes a good point in the fact that Peyton Manning has really suffered a lot of injuries this past year. And, you know, it brings up the question, is this his last game? Do you think this should be his last game?
It should be.
I think so, too. Why would you come back after that? Even if you could play, why would you come back after that?
Yeah. There's nowhere for you to go. You're on top.
You've been MVP, five, six times?
Follow in the steps of John Elway.
Exactly. You're playing for the Broncos. He's, what is he, the owner now or part owner?
No, he's
or
the general manager.
I don't know. But they interview him all the time, acting like he's like the only person in that organization.
Pretty much, yeah. My name is John Bronco.
John Bronco. He changed his last name. My name is John Bronco. I think
like
all owners should change their name to the team name. So it would be like Jeffrey Eagles.
Jeffrey Eagles.
That'd be amazing.
Jerry Cowboy. that sounds like a TV show. Jerry Cowboy. Here he comes, Jerry Cowboy. And the gang of John Bronco. John Bronco and Jerry Cowboy.
That sounds like a really bad, like, 1950s Western TV show.
It's right next to Bonanza.
They air back to back.
Right.
It's a good block of programming right there.
Yeah, man. The best.
Yeah, the very best. You can't beat that programming right there. Prime time, good stuff. So Peyton Manning, probably his last game.
Yeah.
Cam Newton gets shut down. Broncos are just phenomenal on defense. What was your take on the game as a whole?
I'm glad that, I was able to enjoy the game. I'm glad that Peyton Manning is now the first quarterback to lead two different teams to win Super Bowl titles, which that's a really big accomplishment.
I don't think that's ever going to be – that's never going to happen again. It's ridiculously hard to get to the Super Bowl once and then to win it and then to go back with another team and win it with that other team.
Yeah.
I mean, think about the circumstances.
Kurt Warner almost did it.
Yes, he did. I think that's it.
No, there's somebody else.
Is there somebody else? Brett Favre came close.
He didn't make it to the Super Bowl with the Vikings. He made it to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
I think there's somebody else off the top of my head. But I might not. I don't know.
But anyway, it's a very short list.
Very short list. So I'm glad to see Peyton Manning able to do it. Yeah, this needs to be his last game. Just go off in the sunset.
Yeah, it's like a storybook ending. I mean, not so much from a statistical point of view. He got the ring.
Yes. Got the ring, go off in the sunset with John Bronco.
You know what this dawned on me when you said Bronco, is that Peyton Manning played for two horse teams.
That's right.
Colts
Broncos and Colts. Yeah.
He's got a thing for horses, I think.
Yeah, there you go.
Papa John's Pizza and horses and Budweiser.
And right, all,
he just
all
rides
three,
off into the sunset with a slice of pizza in one hand, a Budweiser in the other hand,
and right into the sunset,
riding on John Bronco's back.
And they there you go,
gallop off into the sunset.
I think that's a legendary Western ending. There you go, perfect.
Very strange Western.
Not in football.
Well,
that's the ending of one era for an organization. We now have the beginning of another one. That is our own Philadelphia Eagles. Where the hell did the Eagles start this offseason? I mean, this is just...
Well, I'll tell you where they start. They start by locking up some key young talent. So you guys may have heard recently that the Eagles have made a flurry of signings. They re-signed Zach Ertz. You know, he's a really good mismatch at tight end. He's quick enough to go out and catch passes, but, you know, he's tough enough that he's hard to bring down. They also re-signed Vinnie Curry, who is excited to play in a 4-3 to be that pass rushing end that he was always supposed to be. They got rid of some dead weight in Riley Cooper.
Yes!
Finally, how many years has that been in the making? And they also locked up...
But wait, who's going to get the coach's hot beverage of choice?
I guess they'll have to find another useless wide receiver. Oh. Preferably one that has better hands. Speaking of better hands...
Oh, no! The label said hot!
I mean, if he had spilled coffee on Chip Kelly, I probably wouldn't have minded. I know that sounds really mean, but... God, Chip Kelly was just so bad. But anyway, they also locked up veteran tight end Brent Celek. You know, he's more of a blocking tight end nowadays, but every once in a while he catches a couple passes, and he's always been a great workhorse for the Eagles. So they're you know, keeping this core talent that they have. They're also working on a deal with Fletcher Cox. We'll see how that plays out. He's due a big payday, though, given the season that he had. And also, he's really excited to play in a 4-3 to get after the quarterback as a defensive tackle instead of having to play this two-gap scheme where he's responsible for run stop more than getting after the passer.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see 4-3 back on the defensive front.
We could be so dangerous with Brandon Graham, Vinnie Curry, Fletcher Cox, whoever the fourth guy is that I don't remember. But then the linebackers, you know, with Jordan Hicks, Michael Kendricks, and Connor Barwin, it's going to be a dangerous front seven, I think.
Yep.
But the biggest question, though, of course, on the football team isn't about the defense. For the first time in several years, I think we're set pretty much on defense. You know, one or two positions might need some help.
Cornerback, help!
Well, the safeties were actually pretty good this year.
They're decent.
Malcolm Jenkins and Walter Thurman.
Or cornerback, then.
Cornerback, we could use a little bit of depth at cornerback because when they got injured, it really struggled at that position.
Help!
But the biggest area of help that we need right now is quarterback. It wouldn't be the Eagles without a quarterback controversy, right?
Yep.
So the latest quarterback controversy is, of course, Sam Bradford believes he's due a big payday. And honestly, he probably could get one because he's right now the biggest free agent out there in terms of quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, who else do you go to? There's nobody else.
I can't even think of one guy, honestly. I mean, and... I'm looking at a list right now. It's Sam Bradford. Kirk Cousins is going to be a free agent. There's no way that he's hitting the market, though.
No, Redskins want him.
Yeah, they're going to lock him up. Brock Osweiler apparently is going to hit the market. Ryan Fitzpatrick, but they're going to lock him up, too. You know, so there's not many people out there that aren't going to, that are going to be hitting the market. The problem is Sam Bradford's asking for $20 million.
Yeah.
Do you think he's worth $20 million?
All right, so there you go. Great.
I don't think you should get more. I don't think you should earn more millions than you had touchdown passes.
All right. Okay. Yeah, that would pretty much be my response if Bradford asked me for $20 million.
So, okay. So you don't want to give him $20 million. You're obviously not going to franchise tag him. But what do you do for quarterback then? So there's a rumor that the Eagles...
You ready?
Go ahead, what?
Tim Tebow!
Oh, no. Are you serious?
No, I'm not.
You're like, no. Who am I kidding?
But if you're going to be a prick to everybody.
There you go.
Being a prick to Tim Tebow.
Poor Tim Tebow. He literally didn't even do anything. He's like, screw you, Tim Tebow. I'm going to taunt you.
But if you're going to be a prick to everybody.
Yeah, see? That's Evil Rich coming out.
So, Evil Rich. How do you handle the Eagles quarterback situation then? Do you just cut everybody, screw everybody, be a prick to everybody, and go with a rookie? Do you try and strike a long-term deal with Sam Bradford? Do you go with Mark Sanchez? Or do you go with Tim Tebow?
You don't go with Mark Sanchez. I know that.
Well, I mean, these are our options. We have Mark Sanchez. We have Sam Bradford. There are some sketchy rumors that the Eagles were kind of interested in Nick Foles, but those rumors are sort of – they're coming out as not being totally accurate anymore. It's a little confusing on that front.
I want to go with Nick Foles either. No.
So what's the answer? It seems more and more like we're going to have to work with Sam Bradford somehow.
Yes, but he's got to come down from $20 million. There's no way he's going to get $20 million.
But here's the thing, though. It's like a waiting game. It's like a game of chicken, you know? Because if the Eagles are going to try and call his bluff, be like, sure, go ahead, go to free agency, he's going to get scooped up.
Yeah, he'll get some offers, which is funny because I think one of the teams that would actually pick up Bradford is the Broncos. You know?
Yeah, they have a top-notch defense.
Peyton Manning retiring.
Game. They wouldn't go with Brock Osweiler?
From what I hear...
He had some flashes.
From what I hear, the coaching staff isn't too high on him.
Okay. So maybe they let Brock Osweiler go and we get Brock Osweiler.
Woo! Here comes Brock Osweiler!
I mean, these are the options we have, people. We have to be realistic. You know? We're not going to go out, we're not going to draft a starter at 13 overall.
Or Tim Tebow!
Oh, God.
But if you're going to be a prick to everybody.
Why?
I just want to have the Tim Tebow hype again, you know? I just love how ridiculous the circus is. You know, ESPN covers him 24/7 when he's in Philadelphia.
Oh, my God. I know. It's like Tim Tebow watch.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Tim Tebow blew his nose and he had a snack.
Who?
What did he have to snack on? I'm hearing it's thinly sliced apples.
He bit into a cracker and it came out, and the crumbs came out into the shape of a crucifix.
Oh my, that's a miracle!
Whoa!
He's the Eagles football savior.
And then the Eagles cut him day one.
Yeah, that was the best part.
I want to, do the whole thing over again.
Oh man.
Give him hope.
I really do think Chip Kelly did that just to mess with the media.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that I did like about Chip Kelly is the fact that he's like, screw the media, I'm just going to mess with you guys nonstop. He had no respect for them whatsoever. He's like, whatever.
Yeah.
He was kind of a jerk, but I don't know. It was kind of amazing at sometimes.
All right.
But anyway, quarterbacks.
Yeah, quarterbacks.
I've also heard a weird rumor on sports talk radio. Oh, maybe they could go after Peyton Manning. I'm like, get the hell out of here.
No,
go after
Peyton Manning's retiring.
He's retiring. And why would you want to go after Peyton Manning? They're like, oh, he could bring up a young quarterback. What young quarterback? What young quarterback do we have that Peyton Manning's going to bring up?
I have another fear.
What?
I love how all my options are just fears. Tim Tebow, fear.
Fear and Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
Those are the two options. You're going to bottle fear, give it to Tim Tebow, and that's our starting quarterback.
Either that or RG3.
Okay.
I'm worried that the Eagles organization would take a flyer on RG3.
That wouldn't be a disaster.
He had
a good rookie season, and then I think he got a raw deal there by being put in bad situations before he was ready to come back from that injury and without a lot of talent around him.
And the Eagles on offense have
no talent, no offensive line, no wide receivers.
Especially if they don't get DeMarco Murray.
Why wouldn't they get
DeMarco
yeah.
Murray's been complaining to to the press I want to say backstage but he's
complaining
not a fan.
Complaining to the stage hands.
Yeah, right. Backstage, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm going to a concert this weekend. I can't wait. That's why. has to do with a certain boss.
Okay.
Anyway,
Donald Trump.
You're
fired.
I'm going to have a concert. Going to be huge.
I can just picture Donald Trump singing. What would he sing? I don't even know. That would be awful.
Money, money, money. Must be funny in a rich man's world. I don't know why. I went Christopher Walken.
Yeah, you went Christopher Walken. What is
that?
You just default to like certain accents. Like Sean Connery, Christopher Walken. Those are the two accents you default to.
Whoops.
So anyway, no, you're going to see Bruce Springsteen, aren't you?
Yeah. Yes, if they didn't get the hint. Not Donald Trump.
So, yeah, it makes sense that you got concert stuff on the brain. But
DeMarco Murray has been complaining. That's what I meant to say.
He's got to shut up. He's annoying me. Don't complain. You know, like, we're paying you millions and millions of dollars to be something. And frankly, he didn't live up to the hype. I know he was put in a bad system, but don't sit there and sulk and be all moody. You know, there were times where he wasn't even trying this season. And I get it. You're frustrated. I bet all the players were frustrated. But you still got to give it 100%. And I'm really hoping, you know, part of me is like, well, if he's going to be an issue in the locker room, you can't have players like that around. And the other part of me is like, but he could be a really good talent.
Yeah, I think he gets another season.
Yeah. And I think they have to. They put so much money into him, they can't just get rid of him.
He gets another season, and he should be able to be in a scheme that works with him. Please, for the love of God, put him in the I formation.
They will. I think Doug Peterson, coming up under Andy Reid, knows a thing or two about offensive scheming. Or at least that's the hope.
Jesus Christ. If I see another shot run from the shotgun formation, I'm going to shoot myself.
I mean, occasionally they're going to have to do it, you know, to mix up play calling, but I want to see a lot more power formations.
Yes. All right, so there you go. Eagles have a lot of work to do in this offseason.
I like how we didn't come to any conclusion about the quarterback.
No, because I have no idea.
There's no,
I have no idea.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Every option is a bad one.
Yeah.
At this rate.
And I think I said this at the beginning of last season. I said that the whole Sam Bradford fiasco is going to be a lose-lose situation for us. Because I said he's going to perform just well enough that he's either going to ask for a lot of money or he's going to skip town. And we're going to be screwed one way or the other. And here we are, screwed one way or the other.
Yep.
So I hate to say that I was right, but I mean, because in this case it really messes up the Eagles' plans.
This is so bad.
It's true.
Yep.
But let's move on from the Eagles.
Yeah, let's get the happier news.
Yes, please.
All right, because when professional sports teams suck in Philly, we look towards our college teams, and we have actually some good news coming from the world of college basketball. Villanova, for the first time ever in their basketball history, for the first time ever, they are ranked, as of this week, the number one team overall by the AP Association.
Woo! Mamma mia! Yeah.
What do this guy think? He's an Indian? Woo! Yeah! Something good is happening in Philadelphia.
I mean, I can't muster up that much excitement because it's college sports. I mean, I was telling this to you.
Really? You're gonna rain on my parade?
Yes.
Oh, damn it, Mike!
I'm just raining on you. No, I mean, you can be happy. Go ahead. Be happy, Rich.
Woo! Yeah.
Oh, that's enough. That's enough happiness. No, I'm kidding. No, this is...
The barrel.
Yes. Yes.
Please let me be happy with my sound clips.
You can be happy with your sound clips.
Thank you.
You can run off into the sunset with your sound clips. With Peyton Manning and John Bronco.
You're the man now, dog.
But no, this is big news for Villanova. First time ever being ranked number one overall. And you pointed out to me earlier that this is really important because there's a big college basketball sporting event coming up, isn't there?
Yes, Mike!
Yeah.
Good! Yes! That is correct!
I know it is!
It's
because
called...
I'm not stupid!
It's called March Madness!
Really? I thought it was called March Infuriated People or something like that.
We're infuriated!
No, but yeah, March Madness is right around the corner. So I guess this is really important for Villanova being ranked number one overall because they get the easiest team in the first round, right?
Well, that would be if they make it all the way to Selection Sunday as the overall number one seed.
Right. They don't have much further to go, do they?
They have the rest of this month and then conference tournaments and then the national tournament.
Oh, my God. So it's actually a ways away.
A little bit, but it's not. It is getting to the end.
Is March Madness going to fall into April?
The championship round usually does nowadays.
It's so stupid. They got to change their name. It's got to be March and a little bit of April Madness.
a little bit of April Madness.
just rolls off the tongue. Yeah. March and a little tiny bit of April Madness. April Madness.
Villanova right now has an impressive 20-3 record.
Damn.
They have the third hardest schedule out of all of the teams on the AP list.
And they manage a record like that.
Right. Wow. So that's why they're catapulting to the top of the charts. That's the thing with college basketball is it's not just your record. It's also who did you face.
It's like strength of victory or something like that, right? Yeah, or that's strength football.
Strength of schedule.
Strength of schedule.
Yeah. And it's caused Villanova to catapult all the way to the top. They are one out of the four teams on the AP's top 25 to rank inside the top 20 in both offense and defense efficiency, which is definitely a nice stat to have heading into the end of the season and the conference tournaments.
Definitely.
It looks to be that Villanova just has to keep up the momentum, win the Big East tournament, and then ride into March Madness. Now, the only part that's a little bit eerie is that this is kind of they didn't hit number one last year, but they were hovering around number two, number three, number four last year.
Right.
And what did they get? They were a number one seed, and they lost in the second round of the tournament last year. So hopefully they've learned not to get, you know, not to get boastful and to have some humility and make sure that they take care of the business.
Panthers. What?
Yeah.
I mean, they should take some notes is all I'm saying.
Well, they should take notes from last year because that happened
that too,
to them.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Not just the Panthers. I know you want to bring everything to football.
It's a valid point, Rich.
Yes, it is. But the point is Villanova suffered a humiliating loss in the second round last year. Please, for the love of God, avoid it. Make sure you make it past the opening weekend. You make it to the Sweet 16 at least.
Yeah, you got to make it to at least the Sweet 16.
And if you're being voted the number one best college team by the AP Association, you should be in the title hunt. Come on.
Yeah, don't embarrass yourselves. Don't embarrass the city, you know.
Please, we have nothing. All right? The 76ers aren't going anywhere. If the Flyers do anything, they're going to be like a 7th, 8th seed in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They're probably not going to do anything. The Eagles, we just covered, are a big mess. And the Phillies,
really dire.
Oh, God.
The Phillies are awful, too.
The Phillies, oh, God.
It's, you all right there, buddy?
No. This is a horrible time in Philadelphia sports.
But Rich, Villanova.
Please, Villanova, help us out.
Go back to being happy. Think number one overall, Villanova.
Villanova, you are only hope right now in Philadelphia sports. If they don't.
You should put on a dress and record a message and stick it in a droid and send it to Villanova University.
Because that's the only positive team that's performing right now in Philadelphia sports.
Oh. Well, but yeah, Villanova. They're really Philadelphia's only shot.
Right now.
At anything coming close to relevancy in sports.
Right, exactly. So please don't let us down. Make sure you take care of the business and you make it deep into the national tournament. Because if they
earn that number one spot.
If they choke again, that's going to just put the sports fans of Philadelphia into a coma at this rate. So,
wow, those are dire consequences right
this
there.
This is bad.
I didn't realize the stakes were that high.
What else does the average Philadelphia fan have to look forward to?
So you mean if Villanova doesn't go far into the playoffs, then everybody just goes straight into a coma?
The Philadelphia fan does, yeah, I think so.
Oh, my God.
But please.
That's horrific.
And on that note, let's wrap up the sports sampler. But please, do not go anywhere. We have much more news to come in the entertainment entree. And, of course, the crazy non-fortune cookie odd news. Still more craziness to happen. I'm not in a coma yet. Don't go anywhere. More of the Crispy Noodle Podcast still to come.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
EA Sports has cut ties with the famed golfer for their upcoming golf video game, Tiger Woods PGA Tour. He is in the danger zone. Do you just want to leave it on, Rich?
Maybe. But yeah, you're right. Tiger Woods, unfortunately, he finds himself in the zone of danger.
The zone of danger. You're just having far too much fun.
Do you want me to go back into the danger zone? I will.
No.
All right.
Let's stay out of the danger zone. I want to be in the safe zone. No?
No.
Doesn't have the same ring?
No. That has no ring.
No ring?
That has no ring. Danger zone or nothing at all. How dare you, Mike? Yeah!
What about, like, the in between, like, the precarious zone? What about the slightly cautious zone?
No!
It's just the danger zone?
That's it!
Okay. Well, I'm
sorry, I love Top Gun.
No, really? I couldn't tell. Just played Danger Zone 7 times.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. No, I am not in a coma yet, for those that were wondering.
Thank God.
I know. No,
it was close there for a while.
As long as Villanova, please Villanova, please go deep in the playoffs.
You're really desperate for Villanova to do well.
I'm just saying, what else is there in Philadelphia sports? It's a dark time for Philadelphia sports right now.
Very true. That is very true.
I hope Villanova realizes the responsibility they've taken on.
Well, way to put the pressure on.
I know.
Jeez.
Don't you dare buckle under the pressure, mister.
But here's some more pressure.
Yes. Have a big helping of it.
Mm-mm. You want seconds? Here you go.
Yum.
Load up there.
Yep.
On that there pressure. Yeah. It's like a pressure buffet, you know?
Well, all right, there you go. I promise that's it. Enough sports. We've covered all the sports. I've handed out all the pressure plates to Villanova, so no more sports talk. Instead, we will move on to our second topic here in the show. Every news story here is entertainment-related, so we call it the Entertainment Entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
We're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
So in tasting, what we do is take a small amount right off the top. It doesn't take much. That's the warmest part right here. I'm going to invert the spoon. Cover all 9,000 taste buds. Aerate it. Warm it up. Driving up that top note. That cream. Pure vanilla. Sweeteners. That's a 10.
And there you go. This week's creepy sound effect of the week.
Really awkward.
Is, yep, it is. How about this? Do you want to take a guess at what that is?
I think I know what that is. That is a taste tester tasting ice cream.
Yes. Do you want to, for bonus points, do you know which brand it is?
Ben and Jerry's.
Yes, that is correct. Ben and Jerry's.
Oh my God, really? Yep. Wow. So, did I get everything right?
Yes, you did.
Honest to God, I had no idea what he was going to play people.
Wow. Mike called it. Yep, got it right. That is an old video of a Ben and Jerry's ice cream tester, which, by the way, that must be the greatest job in the world. How the hell do we sign up for this?
Yeah, what do you have to do to be a taste tester?
I think you
have to... what's the interview process like? Eat this ice cream and tell me what you taste?
I think you have to do the... sound effect, apparently, because that is just crazy.
Cover all 9,000 taste buds. Aerate it. Warm it up. Driving up that top note. That cream. Pure vanilla. Sweeteners. That's a 10.
And I guess you also have to list the ingredients too. Pure vanilla.
That's really creepy. Like, it is. Because he's like doing this weird sound with his mouth. And he's also like rattling off like this like weird scientific process, like aerate it.
Yeah.
Gyrate it.
9,000 taste buds.
9,000 taste buds, yeah.
Cover all 9,000 taste buds. Aerate it. Warm it up. Driving up that top note. That cream. Pure vanilla. Sweeteners. That's a 10.
Yeah.
This is a really awkward, like, it makes me uncomfortable to listen to that.
That is just
this is really awkward.
Yeah. So, there you go. I thought you would like that, Mike.
Sure. why not? It's very interesting because it's not something you think about. Like,
this is my job, to give you the wackiest sound effects that I can find on a week-to-week basis.
Well, you, yes. Boy, you do succeed in that.
I think I found one this week.
Cover all 9,000 taste buds. Aerate it. Warm it up. Driving up that top note. That cream. Pure vanilla. Sweeteners. That's a 10.
And that's a 10. Ooh.
He really loves his job.
And that's a 10. Let me tell you something.
He really loves his job.
I've tasted plenty of ice cream before, but that one's definitely a 10.
That was more of like a slurping. Oh, my God.
There you go. An old video of a ice cream taste tester for Ben and Jerry's. I'm sure he's a hit with the ladies.
Wow.
All right, let's move on. Yeah, sure, why not?
The whole clip, that whole segment was just for that one line. Rich is like, I'm going to play this clip, and at the end, I'm going to say this line.
I'm going to make an innuendo.
Yay, innuendo.
Yeah, me. Yes. So there you go. We're kicking off the entertainment entree on a roll. Let's keep it going, because coming up next, it's time for the latest in movies and TV and video games that Mike keeps you up to date about. It's time for This Week in Entertainment.
Cover all 9,000 taste buds. Aerate it. Warm it up. Driving up that top note. That cream. Pure vanilla. Sweeteners. That's a 10.
All right, Mike. What is a 10 for you that we need to keep an eye on?
Well, I'll tell you what's close to a 10, and that's this movie coming out this week, Deadpool. Got an 85 on Rotten Tomatoes. This is the latest film in the X-Men franchise. Fans are going crazy for this one. The trailers and the pre-screenings have received lots of hype. People are praising its funniness, its irreverence, its fourth wall breaking antics. If you just watch the trailers, it looks like a really fun movie, like a great action blockbuster movie. So definitely go check out Deadpool. Not a character that gets a lot of attention, but I think this is going to be pretty good. I think it's the breath of fresh air that these superhero movies need. But if you want something a little lower on the IQ scale, make sure to go check out Zoolander 2. This movie has huge star power behind it. I'm talking Olivia Munn, Kristen Wiig, Benedict Cumberbatch, Penelope Cruz, Will Ferrell, Ben Stiller, Owen Wilson, Macaulay Culkin, Ariana Grande, Justin Bieber, Demi Lovato, Kim Kardashian. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. All these big name stars doing cameos. You know, anybody that's familiar with the first Zoolander knows what to expect, sort of dopey, dumb humor. But that's the whole point of it. These characters are supposed to be dumb. That's what makes it charming, and that's what's got so much fan support behind it. So go check out Zoolander 2 opening up this weekend as well. In the world of TV, two huge franchises are coming back on AMC. On Sundays, we have the return of The Walking Dead. Oh my God. I'm so ready for this. Season 6 is restarting. It's, you know, they do their weird half season thing. So this is the second
6B.
Half. Yeah, this is season 6B. Whatever. Crazy AMC. But if you're not into zombies, if you're not into the violence, if you're more courtroom drama, go check out the second season premiere of Better Call Saul on Monday.
Yes. Oh, man.
This show, you know,
I love it.
Really, really like it. You know, it got a lot of great praise, but I don't think it's getting praised enough. You know, it's just as good as Breaking Bad, and you gotta love the character of Saul. He's amazing.
This series is breaking the spinoff curse.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, and Fear the Walking Dead, too, was pretty good, I thought.
Yeah.
But Better Call Saul is better of the two spinoffs, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, long story short, if you're a fan of AMC, this week is going to be great for you guys because so many great shows are coming back. In the world of video games, it's a week of big indie releases. First up, we have Firewatch on PlayStation 4, PC, Mac, and Linux. It's a quote-unquote walking simulator. That's where you walk around. It's more focused on the exploration and experiencing the environment, in which you play as an isolated park ranger that's trying to escape some trauma or tragedy in his past. And you have to solve mysteries in this desolate wilderness, and all you have is a walkie-talkie to communicate with another park ranger miles and miles away. It's gotten a lot of good press so far, 82 on Metacritic. It's definitely a unique experience with a really bright, vivid, colorful, popping art style that's received a lot of praise. So get check out Firewatch. If you're in for something a little more traditional in the video game world, check out this platformer Unravel on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. This game won over gamers at E3 when the developer came out with a really personal, touching story about him creating this yarny character. It's like this little creature made out of red yarn. A lot of reviewers are citing the emotional story and the unique physics-based puzzles as highlights for this one. It's really hard to explain and tie up in like a simple sentence, but basically you play as a yarn doll that must mend broken bonds, and on a more emotional, philosophical bent, it's his yarn that's tying all these memories together in this one family's history. So it's a little more nuanced than most platformers, but it's been getting a lot of good reviews, 82 on Metacritic as well. So definitely go check out Firewatch and Unravel. And if you have PlayStation Plus, I know that you get some discounts on these games. So if you're interested in picking up a few big-name indie titles, make sure to hit up your digital store. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for this week in entertainment. Let's move on to an interesting topic for the entertainment entree. I like the fact that this kind of ties into the Super Bowl. We always see the commercials and everything, and everyone has their own opinions about them. But this one is. Should we start off with the actual commercial that got us thinking about this topic?
I'll kick this one off because I know we have differing opinions on it, which makes
it
interesting.
That's what's going to make this good.
But the one commercial that I loved so much was the Puppy Monkey Baby commercial. Thinking about it brings a smile to my face because it is so unabashedly awkward and creepy and strange and just horribly, horribly envisioned. That it's this terrible, awful commercial. It doesn't say or do anything, but that's what makes it almost charming in a way for me. I can't help but have a smile creep on my face. The gist of the commercial, if you haven't seen it by now, is three guys chilling on a couch, and this hideous monster walks in, this little tiny creature that has the head of a puppy, the body of a monkey, and the legs of a baby. And all it does is hop around going, puppy, monkey, baby. Puppy monkey baby.
Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby.
Mountain Dew Kickstart. Do.
So it's a Mountain Dew commercial, which you would not have been able to guess at unless they said Mountain Dew at the end. But it's so awkward, absurd, and cringeworthy that it sort of makes it good, in my opinion. And it does what ads are supposed to do. It gets you talking, it's memorable, and it really stole the show for me. And so, in a weird way, it's so bad that it becomes good again. in my opinion. But and you, I just, you and don't see it
and
that
I
way.
I just thought it was bad.
You just thought it was straight up bad.
I was like, what the hell is this? I thought everyone in the room took a giant amount of acid.
Well, you know,
that wouldn't be, you know, a normal Sunday without some acid.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You know, it's par for the course.
What do you do on normal Sundays, Rich? You know. Just sitting there dropping acid, watching weird Mountain Dew commercials.
Yeah, right. You know, it's par for the course.
Yeah.
But, no, I totally didn't get it. I was like, what?
This- but you know what's interesting, though, is that when it came on, we're all sitting there, we're all in your living room watching the Super Bowl. When the commercial comes on, it's like dead silence as we're watching this weird creature dance and lick this guy's face and just say, puppy monkey baby, puppy monkey yep. baby. Everybody was locked into the TV. I think that says something about the power of this ad, this emotional, deep connection with this puppy monkey baby.
I don't know. I
it's like a really weird Pokemon, too,
which
I think is compelling.
I saw it, and I saw it, and I can't believe people got paid for this idea. I was like, why can't I just, you know, I might as well just create a, you know, a wacky combination of things I love and yeah. just throw them into something and bam, I can make a Super Bowl ad.
Fish, parrot, deer.
You know? So,
fish, parrot, deer. I don't know. I just named three animals that popped into my head.
Yeah,
I don't know why those three specifically. Go ahead, you try.
Christina Hendricks.
Just a pair of giant boobs. Christina Hendricks lightsabers.
Drinking alcohol.
So
there you go.
It's a beer bottle made out of lightsaber with just two giant boobs.
Christina Hendricks boobs.
Christina Hendricks boobs. It's an inanimate object, Rich, made out of pure energy, except for the boobs. I don't know if that's...
I don't know.
I mean, that's puppy monkey baby is not possible, but that, I think, defies even... the weird universe that Mountain Dew has already set up for us.
I don't
us.
Know. That was like quick 5 second reaction.
I that's not a bad Pokemon though. Or bad, I don't know what you want to call it.
I don't, why do you keep calling Pokemon?
Because it kept saying its name.
Oh my
Puppy
God.
Monkey Baby.
So at that rate,
Puppy
just,
Monkey Baby.
You know what? Just throw in Pikachu. How about that? Just get little Pikachu and...
Oh, don't give Christina Hendricks boobs to Pikachu. That's messed up.
No, not Christina Hendricks.
Oh, I thought you were saying throw Pikachu into the mix.
No, I'm saying for Mountain Dew. They, use Pokemon or whatever.
Well, no, because Mountain Dew is like all Halo and Call of Duty stuff. It's like elite gamer hackers, bro, you know?
Oh, well, then I don't know, dude. I don't know. I thought that ad was just so stupid. I couldn't believe people got paid to come up with that idea and actually shoot that ad.
There are a couple of controversial commercials, but we won't get too much into that. Back to the subject at hand, though. So this ad got us thinking about that sick, circular nature, right? Where something becomes so bad, it becomes good again. And we thought we should discuss some masterpieces of crap.
Yes.
It's like the before and after on Wheel of Fortune, you know? Masterpieces of crap. So these are, you know, movies, TV shows, video games, music, books, whatever, that are so bad that they become good again, or so strange that they become good, you know? Think of it going all the way to one end of the spectrum, that it goes back to the other end, you know, it becomes the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm. So do you want me to kick this off?
Go ahead. What do you got?
Because I have something in mind that I think supplements this idea to a T.
Okay.
And that I'm going to go with this.
Oh, God.
Yes.
You would.
My just fondness for Top Gun. Why not?
And I mean, it is a pretty, I mean, it's a bad movie, Rich. Let's be honest.
Yes! That's what you're saying! It is so bad, it's great!
Okay, so this for you, it's so bad it becomes great.
Yes.
The volleyball scene is what sold it.
Oh my gosh. The random homoerotic, volleyball scene, a really awesome 80s version of Danger Zone.
Yeah.
Like, it has Tom Cruise.
It has all the makings of a masterpiece of crap. It has these like weird elements that separate would make something awkward and bad, but together in this combination specifically makes it good again.
There's also a scene where a bunch of Navy pilots are singing to a random girl in a bar. Sure, why not?
Okay. Yeah, you know, it's the 80s.
Not,
that can
that's
happen.
That's not creepy at all.
No, not at all.
Also, the movie itself, some people would say that it's really shot weird.
Okay.
Because...
In what regard?
Because it's like the fight scenes with the airplanes are all exterior shots of the airplanes until you hear dialogue.
Okay.
Other than the actual dialogue, everything is exterior, 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 exterior. Almost as if to say, like, this movie, airplanes. That's it.
Airplanes.
Like, you know? Like, there's not really any sort of, like, emotional connection other than... Probably the only emotional connection is in the scene where, spoiler alert, Goose dies. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Other than that, like, the actual fight scenes are just, you're just watching airplanes.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't like airplanes, you're not gonna love Top Gun. Cause half
That's
of the
true.
Movie is airplanes.
It's just, yeah, it's just all jets.
Right.
It's like military hardware porn. It's
yes.
like, here are jets.
Yeah.
Go to town.
Right. But for some odd reason, I think it's the right combination of just bad that it's so good. And I would defend Top Gun. It's
okay.
so bad,
you would,
it's
you would,
good.
You would defend this game to your death. Or movie. Why did I say game?
Because it was a Nintendo game.
It was,
yes,
I
it
guess.
Yes, it was.
Technically.
There was actually two Nintendo games.
Really?
I can't believe they actually found
two,
enough material to make two Nintendo games.
Two Nintendo
out of it.
Games
yes.
based on this movie.
That's correct.
Wow. Did you have to play the volleyball scene?
No, there was no volleyball scene.
Such a pivotal moment in the plot. I mean, character development.
I know.
All over the place.
Well, yeah. Just
I never understood the point of the volleyball scene.
I never understood why after the volleyball scene, Tom Cruise goes over to the teacher's house and randomly says, I'm going to take a shower.
Who does that?
Who does that?
I'm going to grab a shower real quick. Yeah.
Mike, you know, we record the podcast at Mike's house. Mike, I'm going to go take a shower, actually, while you do the next topic.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll hold down the fort.
Yeah, I'm actually going to, you know, just...
I'll read the odd news to myself and react.
Yeah. Right? Where's your towels?
They're in the closet right over there at the top of the stairs. Oh, my God.
Where's your soap?
It's so true, though. It's like, I hadn't thought of that until you pointed it out. Like, yeah. Yeah, that's really strange. Like, I mean, I guess that's what the 80s are all about, though.
Taking showers at random people's houses.
Taking showers,
right.
Yeah, just walk into somebody's house like, hey, how you doing? I'm going to take a shower real quick. Whatever.
Yeah, no big deal.
Oh, my gosh. So.
So, all right, I would say that would be my argument for something that, for some piece of art that was so bad, it was good.
Okay. So, I don't know why this popped into my head, but as you're talking about Top Gun, all I could think about, for some reason, and there's no connection whatsoever, but Jurassic Park, the video game on Sega Genesis.
Oh, specifically
Genesis,
the video game.
This game was awful. At least I thought it was awful. There were two...
Was that the one you had to, like, go through a museum?
No.
You know what? I'm thinking of something on a different console. Never mind.
Okay. I have no idea. Go through a museum. I don't know. But this one specifically, there were two separate storylines, which was, I guess, innovative for the time on Sega Genesis. But one storyline you play is Dr. Grant doing his, like, jumping and shooting stuff, which Dr. Grant didn't shoot anything in the movies, but you're, like, blowing away dinosaurs with shotguns in this game. Then the other storyline you play as a Velociraptor, which sounds cool, but the controls are atrocious.
Oh.
You're just running around. You, like, have to, like, stop and, like, kick at stuff. It's just a really awkward game. Like, you're fighting other Velociraptors and T-Rexes, and at one point Dr. Grant rides a Gallimimus. Like, it doesn't make sense at all. And it's, like, really awkward and strange. But at the time, I loved dinosaurs, right? I didn't have a lot of video games. And so this video game, I played the hell out of it. And I never even beat the game. I just played the same three levels over and over and over again. But it was one of those games, it was like one of my main go-tos was this awful Jurassic Park video game from the early 90s on Sega Genesis.
Wow.
So that's one example. Another one, oddly enough, related to a video game but not a video game, is the Mortal Kombat movie. Have you ever seen the Mortal Kombat movie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, it's so
bad. Is that the one where the chick is like, you must die?
Yeah, there's like this weird, yeah, the delivery is just very strange on that line where this is going to be bad, but I know the characters' names. Sindel is like a witch character or something, is confronting Katana, one of the multicolored female ninjas, and she just says, I think she says, it's a shame that you must die.
All right, I pulled it up.
Oh, you have it.
This is the actual clip in the, I have not edited it, I have not sped it up. This is the actual clip in real time.
Mother. You're alive.
Too bad.
You will die.
too bad.
You
will die.
Like, that's such a weird exchange. You're alive. Too bad you will die. Like,
yeah,
is that really what your response is in that moment?
What is this, Christopher Walken?
Too bad you will die.
Will die.
And I shoved the watch up my ass. You know?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, but Mortal Kombat, it was just an atrocious movie. It's so bad.
It is.
Oh my god. It's just really, it's again, but it's so bad. It's like one of those like cheesy, and this goes for a lot of martial arts movies. It's like so cheesy, so bad that it becomes good again. You know, have you ever watched a martial arts movie where it's like, this is utterly ridiculous, but you can't help but be glued to the screen because of what's happening on it. You know what I mean? Yeah, so those are two of the ones that pop up off the top of my head. Jurassic Park, the video game, and Mortal Kombat, the movie. I think it's funny that they're like flip-flop too. One is a video game of a movie, the other is a movie of a video game. Uh-oh. Looks like you've got another one brewing.
Yes, I got another one brewing. And okay. This is something that you'll know and people of the podcast will know. Another one of my just cheesy, one of my favorite cheesy 80s movies. Has to be Rocky IV.
Oh god.
You know, just not, cause it's just so extreme, because the first two Rockies, he's trying to win the world championship. Rocky III, he loses the world championship, he has to get it back. And then Rocky IV, I have to take on Soviet Russia.
Like, that's what you do in the 80s.
Yes.
That's what you do in the 80s.
And the jump is just amazing. That Rocky IV is just pure 80s. The soundtrack is like weird techno. You can hear it right now in No Easy Way Out. Rocky loses Apollo Creed.
Right.
And
it's a sad moment.
And after that happens, he's sad, but he's like, but it's like the most masculine way of being sad in the 80s. He's driving like a really badass car, and he's not crying, but he's just looking deep out into the road as he's driving. So tough guyish, you know?
So tough guys. I can't cry. I'm really emotional, but I can't cry. I'm gonna look out into the distance.
And this song is playing, and it's just, oh, I just love
it. Feel the emotion.
Yes, it's just so cheesy and so 80s. I love it. And some people would say it's horrible, but I say it's awesome.
You just love anything 80s, I think.
I do love the 80s. Like, I think it's an interesting era.
Interesting, I think, is a good word.
Yeah, right?
So, okay, here's something. Let's go.
Wait. I forgot about one more thing in Rocky IV. Okay. There's a robot. Rocky
what?
Owned... Yes. There
what
is
do you mean there's a robot? I don't remember a robot.
There is a scene where Rocky owns a robot.
So, what type of robot? Like an android? Like beep, bop, boop, bop?
It's like a helper around the house or something.
This is in the 80s?
Yes.
That's really weird.
Yes. So, if you're looking for a weird 80s movie, go to Rocky IV. Also, it gave us one of your favorite sound clips right here.
During this fight, I've seen a lot of changing. But if I can change, you can change. Everybody can change!
Oh, and he says that in front of the Russian audience. The Russian audience is actually clapping.
Well, I mean, it's very inspirational.
Man. Rocky
if
is...
I can change, you can change. We can all change.
Yeah.
So inspirational.
If I can change, you can change. We all change.
Rocky IV.
Rocky IV. That's how he ends it. Rocky IV.
Rocky IV.
He just yells his name and a number.
What match is this? This is my fourth. Okay, Rocky IV.
This is my fourth. This is the fourth match I've ever had. had a really strange career.
Yes, obviously.
Oh my God, that's amazing. But
you know, then Rocky V, he fights in front of Septibus. So go figure.
Well, I mean, that's like a common thing, right? People fight near SEPTA buses, I guess.
Yeah.
That's Philadelphia.
Yeah. What, you never fought in front of a SEPTA bus?
All the time.
That's like a Philadelphia
rite of passage.
Yeah.
Manhood.
Yeah, it's a rite of manhood.
Philadelphia rite of manhood. Yeah, yeah, there you go. Fight in front of a SEPTA bus.
Yep.
I've actually never done that, but okay.
Okay.
Have you?
No comment.
No comment. You just run up to random people on the street as a SEPTA bus pulls up and just deck them. And you're like, it counts! And you just run away. But, you know, I think it's interesting that all your picks come from the 80s, because I'm going to, like, broaden the subject here. I'm going to get, like, meta here. The 80s itself as a decade, it was so bad that it becomes legendary in the opinions of people that remember it. Think about, like, the awful hair metal music and the cheesy movies and the god-awful video games and just everything that came out in the 80s, right? It was like, because that's the joke, right? The 80s were like the dark ages because, like, everything was awful. But people remember it so fondly at the same time.
And, hey,
you're
like
proof
the
right there.
I like the 80s movies and music and stuff like that.
I do, too. I'm a fan of Guns N' Roses, so you know. And, yeah, I like a lot of the 80s as well. But, yeah. The 80s are something that was so bad that they become good again.
All right. Now, let me at least jump forward to prove that I don't just live in the 80s.
Okay.
I'll have something. Here's something that was cheesy at the time. Boy Meets World is one of my favorite sitcoms.
That was not cheesy.
No.
How?
Not the series
dare
itself.
You?
No. The series. No. Okay. But there is an episode in the Boy Meets World franchise called And Then There Was Sean, and it's a weird episode where Sean dreams that he's killing all of his friends.
Oh,
do you remember this episode?
It's like a vaguely Halloween type episode.
Yeah, it's a parody of like I Know What You Did Last Summer,
right,
and stuff,
right,
like,
yeah,
that. And it's actually so much of a direct parody that they actually have Jennifer Love Hewitt in it, and instead they call her Jennifer Love Peppermint or something, you know, just. Yeah.
Okay. That's weird.
Right.
And that was one of my favorite episodes, though, oddly enough.
Yeah. I think it's so cheesy in trying to relate towards, because they were trying to take a parody episode and actually try and give it meaning to Sean, because at the time, Sean felt like he was responsible for Corey's breakup with Topanga.
You know so much about Boy Meets World.
Yes.
I love how you're just like, yes, you just own up to it.
I mean, a good show.
It was a phenomenal show. I loved that show.
And Philadelphia. It's based in Philadelphia. Come on, you have to respect it.
You have to love Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
That's one of those like cheesy early 90s sitcoms that are that become good too.
Yes.
But so that anyway, episode specifically.
Yeah,
for
in that episode, they were making it a parody. But right. Then at the end, like, they tried to tie it to Sean's feelings as to his role in Corey's breakup with Topanga.
Right.
And it was a little cheesy and a little bit of a stretch, but I still liked it.
Okay.
And there you go. I've just handed in my man card. There you go. Thank
hey,
you.
Hey, Boy Meets World, that's what teaches boys how to be men.
Yeah. I, sure.
Sort of.
I don't
You're
know.
You're like, yeah, whatever.
I can't even defend that one.
Well, Boy Meets World is good.
I like Boy Meets World.
Wait, who does? I don't understand. What's the embarrassment about? Who doesn't like Boy Meets World?
Are there
people that don't like Boy Meets World?
I hope not, because then they have no souls.
They have no souls. They're just soulless, heartless bastards.
Yes. Do you have anything else you want to mention in this random masterpiece of crap segment here?
I don't know. You covered a lot of them. I'm like really scratching my head to try and think of something. I don't know. You've left me at a loss for words.
After that Boy Meets World analysis.
Yeah. That was some top-notch analysis of Boy Meets World. But it's, you know what's a shame? It's not available for streaming anywhere. And yes, I have looked. I have looked, people, okay? I have searched for Boy Meets World streaming options online. There are none.
Damn it,
to my
Netflix,
knowledge.
Get on that.
Yeah, really, Netflix, come on. bastards.
There
you go. Masterpieces of crap. Things that are so bad that they become good again.
Yes. And I think we covered a wide range from Top Gun to Rocky IV to Boy Meets World to Jurassic Park
video games on Sega.
And Mortal Kombat the movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
A very strange, eclectic collection of random, awful, amazing media.
I'll tell you what, I don't know any other podcast where you're going to hear a transition from Mortal Kombat the movie to Boy Meets World and everything in between there.
That's what makes us so amazing.
So, there you go.
The transition was so bad that it became amazing. We've gone meta, Rich.
Wow. All right, we're going too meta.
We gotta get out of this.
Too much meta. We need to take a break, but don't go anywhere because things are really going to get off the rails as I have new odd news to report to you this week in the non-fortune cookie odd news. I also have an update too, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
For this one, we're going to follow the story of Joshua Massarelli. Well, unfortunately, over the weekend, he became a secret stupid hero. The 23-year-old was arrested over the weekend for, quote, being intoxicated and endangering the safety of others. Massarelli was wearing a red tank top with no pants during a midnight ramble on Saturday night. As he walked through the streets of Florida, Massarelli allegedly would stop in the middle of various intersections, pose like Superman, and proudly urinate out on the streets. It's Piss Man!
Oh, man. I used to see that hand, you know, fists on his hips, chest puffed out, pecker in the wind. Pissing all over the place.
I love
for truth, justice, and the American way. I shall pee on this intersection.
I love how the police report notes that he proudly urinated.
Proudly, yeah.
I've never heard that term being used to describe going number one.
How do you proudly urinate?
You behold
the mighty serpent.
I make urine.
Make urine. That's congratulations. You have achieved a basic human function.
That's Piss Man's motto. I produce urine.
I produce urine.
Behold
the urine of justice.
Well, Massarelli was arrested for disorderly intoxication and booked into jail. He was released after posting a $100 bond. So, wow. Behold the legend of Piss Man.
Piss Man. So glorious.
Proudly urinating where no man has gone before.
Where no man has urinated before.
That's right. Behold the Piss Man. I produce urine! I just want that to be the tagline.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We're done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree. Been through a lot of emotions.
Yes. This podcast is always good for bringing you a wide range of emotions, the entire spectrum. We take you from the deepest depths of sorrow to the highest peaks of joy and elation.
Yes, I would agree. I concur.
Oh, yes.
I concur.
You do concur. All right, nice.
But if there's one thing that is for sure, is that on every episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast, we will leave you laughing in stitches because of the craziness that happens in our final segment that is 100% true. I can't believe some of the stuff that happens in this. Folks, it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool. Uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada Basata, I don't make this stuff up.
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders and go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Yeah, here it is.
Oh, my gosh. This is one of my favorite segments. I hope it's one of your guys' favorite segments. Here in the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. I have no idea what he's got. He keeps these stories hidden away from me. I've never seen them before. These are my gut reactions, my genuine reactions to my first time hearing these stories. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen, and Rich doesn't even know what's about to happen, because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. I'm ready to go, Rich. You told me you had an update.
Yes,
so
I do.
It's always fun and special when we have an update here in the Odd News, because they don't happen that often, but when they do, they're always something very special and unique.
Yep, so I do have an update for you. Let's start the odd news off with this.
Okay.
Do you remember an old friend of the odd news?
Well, we have so many.
Who changed his name legally to Bizzow Doodoo Zobitty Bop 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 Bop.
Down the slope. Oh, I'm going zip zop zoobity bop.
That's from like a while ago.
Yeah, this is one of the very first odd news stories we covered.
Oh my god. So, there's an update. Did he change his name back?
No. He apparently caught himself into some legal trouble here.
Uh-oh.
The Wisconsin man that is known as Bizzow Doodoo Zobitty Bop Bop Bop.
Down the slope. Oh, I'm going zip zop zoobity bop.
I love how it's just gibberish.
Yeah.
It's not even like words. It's not even like syllables that make sense. It's just sound. It's just noise, you know?
He was seen tearing down flyers at Evergreen State College. A confrontation then ensued with a campus officer. During the struggle, he allegedly grabbed the officer's gun and then bit the officer's ring finger several times.
Down the slope. Oh, I'm going zip zop zoobity bop.
Oh my gosh. Why would you grab his gun? That is a surefire way to get in super trouble.
Not a finger!
It was a finger.
Yeah, it was a finger. This one was a finger.
Oh my gosh. I love that clip.
He also attempted to stab the officer with a pen, according to the report.
Yeah, the gun, right?
Down the slope. Oh, I'm going zip-zop, zoom-a-da-bop.
He had the gun, though. I'm not saying he should have shot him, but I'm like, he's got the gun. He's got his teeth latched onto the finger, and then he's stabbing him with, what did he have?
A pen.
A pen. What an odd confrontation.
Not a finger!
This happened because he was tearing down flyers.
Yes.
Okay.
The newspaper reported that punches were then thrown. After that, Zobitty Bop 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 allegedly fled on foot. A deputy saw the suspect and chased him into a wooded area where he then threw rocks and a brick.
Oh my god. This guy's just all over the place.
Yeah. It took another deputy to confront him and use a taser on Zobitty Bop Bop Bop.
Down the slope. Oh, I'm going zip zop zoobity bop.
I think it's funny that his name is probably the same sound that a person makes when getting tasered. What's his name? It's zibbity bop 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 or something?
His official last name is Zobitty Bop Bop Bop.
Zobitty Bop Bop Bop.
Yes.
Oh my god.
His first name is Bizao.
Bizao.
And his middle name is Doo-Doo.
So it's Bizao Doo-Doo Zibbity Bop Bop Bop.
That's correct.
Wow. So, I don't know if we went over this the first time this story popped up, but how do you legally change your name to that? Do they allow you to just make whatever you want to be your name? Like, can I just make my name obscenities?
I have no idea. I don't know how.
Like, what's the protocol? What are the rules? I'm going to look it up. What are the rules to changing your name?
I don't know. If Zobitty Bop 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 can get away with this, I think you're good, Mike.
Down the slope. No, I'm going zip zop zoobity bop.
Mr. Zobitty Bop 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 was then tackled, handcuffed, and arrested. He was in court. A prosecutor reportedly deferred to the suspect's original name, which was Jeffrey Drew Wiltsky.
See, that's a normal name.
Adding that he was, quote, unable to verify that the name change happened. But Zobitty Bop 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 came into court with the legal documents that showed his name did change when we reported the story in 2013. The suspect's bail was set at $50,000. This is not the first time that he's been in trouble with the law. Back in 2013, Zobitty Bop 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 was arrested on a concealed weapon charge and drug charges.
Every time you say that name, I just, like, chuckle, because it's so ridiculous.
Down the slope. No, I'm going zip-zop, zoom-a-da-bop.
Yep.
Oh,
and he
man.
can't help himself from being in legal trouble, apparently.
I guess not.
So, there you go. That was one of the very first odd news stories we reported
Yeah,
on.
that's a really old one.
Yeah.
And man.
He came back into the limelight.
Jeez. I can't believe you actually found that. Like, do you have like Google search alerts or something?
Yes, for
that person's name.
For Zobitty Bop Bop Bop. Yes,
good
I do.
Good Lord.
Down the slope. No, I'm going zip zop zoobity bop.
Yep.
Oh man, that's amazing.
So there you go. A real update for you to start off the non-fortune cookie odd news. You ready to get to some news stories?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, this one. I love this one. Because this is something that whoever came up with the idea for is a genius and deserves all the credit. You ready to hear about this one?
Yeah, let's hear about it. Let's hear about this genius and whatever he came up with. Is this like a product, a service, or...
Well, like, the feature that is used on this
is
definitely advantageous in this wacky situation.
Okay.
Because police in Illinois were able to identify the suspect in a photo booth theft after the machine activated during the robbery and fully captured the robber's image stealing the booth's money.
I mean, that's how photo booths work. You know, there's no way around it.
The booth at Funway Amusements captured photos of the suspect who tried to pry open the machine's cash drawer and was able to get $75 in cash and caused $75 worth of damage to the photo booth.
Wait, no. He stole $75 and there was $75 worth of damage.
Yes, according to the report, yeah.
That's an oddly specific amount, don't you think? They're like, just give back the money so we can pay for the exact amount of damage you caused.
When the man attempted to open the photo booth's cash drawer, the machine automatically began to take photos.
That's a smart feature.
The Illinois police said that, quote, the machine is designed to take photographs when it senses senses tampering to the cash drawer. So whoever came up with that invention, A+.
That is a really smart feature. I would hope ATMs have like a similar feature.
I
assume they would.
If a little photo booth can have this feature, I think ATMs should.
Yeah.
The report was delayed until the owner could get a repairman to pull the offender's images from the machine, and the man was then caught. So... Bad
Why
luck.
A photo booth? I guess he thought like it's a low risk target.
Yeah, he thought the camera was only going to activate when money was in it.
All he had to do was like put. I guess he didn't know about this feature, but now because of your diligent reporting, everyone knows, so they know that they can go to a photo booth, put tape over put like duct tape over the camera and just rob it for all of $75.
Oh boy,
there's a big bucks right there.
Yeah, boy, you're gonna make out like a bandit on that one.
Oh yeah, 75 big ones.
Oh yeah, enough for a game and a half of PlayStation.
There you go. Not really, but yeah,
no,
sure.
Not even really. So
you can't even do that. You can only buy one game, and then you have $15 left over. So $75.
The season pass.
There you go, the season pass.
There you go. You have enough for an EA Sports game and a season pass.
The point is, you need to steal more than $75, I think.
Yeah, to make it worth your while.
Yeah. You gotta rob, like, big targets, you know? Like armored trucks. Go for those. You're like, whatever.
Sure, no. All right, you ready for our next story here?
Yeah.
And it's another Wisconsin story. So
Wisconsin.
Two Wisconsin stories.
Wisconsin.
I guess they don't have anything better to do in Wisconsin.
Well, shouldn't they be busy, like, making cheese or something?
Well, the Packers aren't in the Super Bowl, so they were bored.
So they all just revert to crime.
Yes.
The Packers will make the Super Bowl. Let's just destroy everything, guys.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Philadelphia thing that would happen. We haven't destroyed anything recently, have we? Guys, get on it.
Yeah,
come on.
It's too boring.
It's too boring. Yeah, yeah, that's on. The main reason they destroy things is to keep it, you know, spice things up.
Yeah, come on, guys. All right.
So why is Wisconsin going crazy with all the odd news?
Yeah, in all seriousness, got another Wisconsin story here for you. And this actually happened. A mother and her boyfriend are now facing felony charges after they allowed a 9-year-old to drive them home because they were too drunk.
Oh, my God. I hate hearing these stories because it's so sad that this little kid has to drive his parents home. 9 years old.
What's a turn signal?
Oh, my God. It's amazing that nobody got seriously injured. Here's a question, though. Why are you taking your 9-year-old out drinking? Like, you're going out for a night on the town. Why is your 9-year-old with you?
Yeah, did they, like, keep him in the car?
Like, you wait out here, little Billy.
Yeah.
But Billy, it's cold. I don't care.
Billy,
I gotta get my drink on.
Billy, you're gonna learn the importance of making $10. You're gonna stay in the car, and then you're gonna drive mommy and daddy home.
Is that like his allowance?
Yeah.
Those are his chores?
That's it, yeah.
Guard the car and drive us home.
Right.
$10. After we're completely wasted.
$10.
$10. Poor kid. That's maybe, at least $15 worth.
Maybe an ice cream.
Maybe an ice cream. While he's driving, he can go wherever he wants.
Yeah, that's right.
Mommy, if you don't shut the hell up, I'm going to turn this car right around. I would love to see that. Little Billy just gets up in his mom's face. Shut up, Mom.
No, we are not going to another bar.
And then the mom's like, but I wanna! I said behave, young man! Young woman, whatever the hell you are.
Amanda Eggert and her boyfriend James Roth are accused of neglect and second degree recklessly endangering safety.
What the hell is second? What is second degree recklessly?
What's first degree? Yeah.
What was it? Recklessly endangering
safety. That's a weird term.
Wait, you recklessly endanger safety.
Wisconsin, you need to fix your charges here.
So the safety was in danger?
Recklessly.
Recklessly. I didn't realize, like, safety was an entity that could be in danger. Does that statement make any sense to you?
I think there could have been a better way to charge them of a crime.
I think they're missing a word. I think they're missing, like, child in there. Recklessly endangering the safety of a child, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
How is this a second degree charge?
Because yeah, what's first degree?
First degree is like with intent.
Oh.
But like, one, how do you recklessly endanger safety? That's really vague, right? And so a second degree would be like if it's a like spur of the moment emotional type thing, I think. Right? Isn't that second degree?
I have no idea.
It's not, yeah, first degree is premeditated, I think. It's just a very weird charge that doesn't make any sense.
Wisconsin fixed that.
Did they get charged for child neglect or child abuse or something?
I think that falls under neglect.
Is that what the other charge?
That was the other charge.
Okay, neglect. Yeah. Okay.
Police were alerted about erratic driving on local roads with reports of a truck weaving in and out of oncoming traffic. Oh, the poor kid had to drive a truck.
I don't even think I could drive a truck. And they expect a nine-year-old. Nine-year-olds are tiny. How do you expect, like, I want to know, is this like a big Ford F-350 or something?
Probably.
Can't even see over the dashboard. He's just, you know, driving aimlessly. La, 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 la. Yeah. La, 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 la. Just going for a Sunday drive with my drunk parents in the back. Or drunk mom and boyfriend.
Deputy Jeff Hahn told the court that there was also an 11-month-old baby strapped into a car seat in the vehicle.
God. Are you serious? Come
Morons.
On. They go out drinking and they bring a 9-year-old and 11-month-old baby.
You guys are going to sit in the car, apparently.
Oh, that's awful. But I just had a thought. The cops pulled over the kid. So he knew enough to pull over? That's pretty impressive.
Well, that's good. He knows the rules of the road.
Yes, exactly. He just can't see the road.
He just can't see the road, but he knows.
If he could see the road, he would know all the rules.
But he knows the rules of the road.
Yeah. He's like, oh boy.
Oh no.
I hope that wasn't a stop sign.
I hope that was a pothole.
I mean, that, could you imagine? I think that would be hilarious. Like, that would be a scene in a comedy where a cop pulls over a car, and it's like this big truck. It looks like a tough guy type truck, you know? And the cop walks up, the window rolls down, and you just see, like, a little tuft of hair sticking up over the thing. And the cop looks, and there's a little kid holding out a license and registration.
What's the problem, officer?
Yeah. Can I help you, officer?
As the 9-year-old exited the truck, it was still running and in drive when Mr. Roth was sitting in the truck by himself.
Wait, where did the baby go in all this?
I guess it's still in the back seat.
Wait, when did the kid get out of the truck? Did he decide to leave it?
When the cop pulled him over.
Oh. And so he just hopped out.
Yeah, without... Oh, I get it. Without putting the gear in park.
Oh, no. So, dumb kid, come on.
He missed that lesson.
Yeah, the most important lesson, when you stop, put the car in park. Oh, my God.
He tried to turn the ignition off, but the truck began rolling backwards down a hill.
Oh, my God.
Luckily, Mr. Hahn was able to jump into the truck in the nick of time, hit the brakes, and put the truck in park.
Oh, so he wasn't that drunk.
No. This was the deputy.
Oh, that was the deputy.
Over.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, that guy's a hero.
Yeah. The deputy stopped it.
Oh, okay.
That's when Mr. Hahn, the deputy, arrested the woman and the man who had a preliminary breath test done, and the results showed that he was more than 3 times over the legal driving limit.
Jesus.
Damn, they don't mess around.
Not only did you bring your kids with you, but you drank a hell of a lot of booze.
Yeah, 3 times the legal limit.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know, let the kid drive.
Let the kid drive.
Better than me driving.
Like, I want to know the type of person that thinks, it's fine. The 9-year-old can drive.
Yeah.
They say pick a designated driver. Well, I got one.
Yeah.
Little Billy. Hello.
He's sober as a priest on a Sunday.
What? I've never heard that one. Are priests sober on Sunday?
They should be, or else it's going to be a really weird ceremony.
I knew this priest back in the day. Back
got
in grade
drunk
school.
On Sundays?
He was very liberal with his wine. You know when they take a sip of the wine?
Oh, what? He would chug it?
He would drink the whole chalice.
Chug.
Yeah. I mean, it probably had, like, no alcohol content, but as a kid, I was like, oh, my God, he's going to get drunk, because that's a lot, you know, being like a dopey little grade schooler.
And then you went out, and you picked up your drunk parents from the bar.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. As a 9-year-old, I would drive myself to church and then go pick up my parents at the bar. Yes, of course.
There you go.
Like every good 9-year-old
Catholic
Christian,
school boy should.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Perfect. Those were my Sundays growing up. Oh, it would have been more exciting, I think.
All right, let's do this story next here in Pittsburgh.
Uh-oh.
Relatively.
Yeah.
You know, it is a little bit of a drive, but it is still in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's still a Pennsylvania story, yeah.
In Allegheny County, sheriff's deputies arrested a man Monday morning after he offered to sell illegal pills to a person in a Pittsburgh traffic courtroom seating area.
Pittsburgh
traffic courtroom seating area.
Okay. So trying to sell somebody drugs there, specifically a seating area for traffic court or something.
Yes. 35-year-old Christopher Durkin.
Oh, Durka, Durka, Durka.
Yep.
That was perfect.
Yep.
So I expect most of the clips you play because I've heard them so many times. Every once in a while, though, you pull out one that I've like never heard before. That was perfect.
Yep. 35-year-old Christopher Durkin appeared in front of the district magistrate James Hanley to face one count of driving under suspension. After his hearing, Durkin walked with a unidentified person in the courtroom seating area. A nearby sheriff's deputy, who was also inside the room, instructed Durkin to leave the courtroom. After he did, the unidentified man approached the deputy to report that Durkin had just offered to sell him some drugs.
Oh, Durka, Durka, Durka.
Police said that the man further stated that he did not know Durkin and that he asked him if he was interested in buying some Suboxone. I guess that's the pills.
What the hell is that?
Suboxone?
I've never heard of that.
Suboxone. Suboxone.
I'm going to look it up. What was it?
Suboxone. Subox 1? It looks like Subox 1.
It can treat pain as well as addiction to narcotic pain relievers.
Okay, so.
Can cause life-threatening respiratory distress when taken in high doses. Yikes.
Well, that's what this Durkin guy was offering.
Oh, Durka, Durka, Durka.
It always amazes me where people think that they can get away with selling stuff.
Yeah.
Like you said, he was in a court, he was in like a court setting, right?
Yeah, this is outside a courtroom.
Yeah. He's like, I have drugs. Anybody want drugs? Drugs here.
Oh, Durka, Durka, Durka.
Oh my God.
The deputy found Durkin in the hallway and discovered that he had two doses of Suboxone on him. Authorities arrested Durkin on two counts of possession of a controlled substance and one count of possession with the intent to deliver a controlled substance. Okay. he was then taken to the local county jail where he's currently awaiting arraignment.
Oh, Durka, Durka, Durka.
So, there you go.
I just love that clip. That clip is just amazing.
Thought you would.
Oh, man. It's just unbelievable that people try and sell this stuff, like, inside a courthouse.
Yeah.
This is, like, why?
You might want to wait until after you're
like,
done.
Leave the premises, at least.
Yeah.
Where there aren't, like, police officers and judges and lawyers that can, like, arrest you and try you and, like, right there. They should have just dragged him right into the court and been like, look, we caught him doing this. And the judge is like, all right. Jail.
Guilty.
Guilty. Yeah.
Right then and there.
I don't know why they had to. Like,
oh, Durka, Durka, Durka.
I don't know why they had to Durka, Durka, Durka. They could have just skipped the whole Durka, Durka, Durka and got
guilty
right
Durka.
To the chase. Guilty, Durka.
Guilty, Durka, Durka, Durka. Take that. Guilty. All right. I've got a couple stories left, and they are all Florida stories.
Okay. Oh, God.
Yeah, Florida is back with a vengeance, so let's launch into the Florida stories.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Deputies headed to a report of a naked man, quote, going crazy at a Walgreens. They found cash strewn around a Cadillac Sport utility vehicle and apparent thrown shoes. 28-year-old...
Wait, what do you mean by apparent thrown shoes?
Shoes were thrown.
Only apparently.
Yes, that's what it says in the report. I'm reading the
report. It's not definite that they were thrown. But apparently they were thrown.
Yes. 28-year-old Kyle Chenever was arrested for disorderly intoxication following this incident. The Walgreens manager said that an apparent nude dude...
Nude dude, okay.
Yeah, an apparent nude dude was quote, going crazy in his parking lot, banging on car windows. An Indian River County Sheriff's deputy saw a Cadillac SUV with the doors open and the lights on. A man who appeared to be wearing only boxer shorts was yelling around and pacing and hitting himself in the head.
Ow.
The man, identified as Shnevar, started to put another pair of boxers on his head.
Wow.
Yeah, boy, that's when you know you're dealing with someone serious here.
Yeah.
Shnevar, who smelled of booze, said that his girlfriend had left him, and he walked home and he was waiting on her to get back. He said that he had smoked pot and taken Xanax. The deputy found unopened beer cans next to the SUV and also Shinevar's apparent thrown shoes. He then shouted, "Where's the rain, damn it?" and threw $882 of cash all over the parking lot.
Why did he have so much money with him?
Yeah.
Wow.
How come this doesn't happen at our local parking lots? I would like random.
Yeah, I would just stand around and wait for people to go crazy and throw their money everywhere.
Yeah. I would like random.
And that would be my job.
I would like a random $800 in the parking lot.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I'm surprised people weren't trying to, like, pick it up. Or were they? I don't know.
Deputies still have no idea why he did this.
Alcohol.
Yeah.
I think it's always funny, like, oh, they have no idea. Like, no. They said alcohol.
Yes. But even when he sobered up, he still had no explanation. So.
Oh. Alcohol. The answer is still alcohol.
Yes. Yes.
So, I mean, or he's just literally, like, legit crazy.
Yeah, something. Something is going wrong there for this poor Kyle Shinevar. He's throwing.
Yeah, I'd say so. Throwing shoes and putting boxers on his head.
How do you have $882 specifically? You know?
Yeah.
It just seems like a weird amount to have on you.
So he must have taken out, like 900. Which is still, like, why do you need $900? And then he spent some money at the, where were they, Walgreens?
Yeah.
He spent some money at Walgreens.
That was where he got the boxer shorts.
Yeah, so he bought some boxer shorts, and that's where the missing, what, $18 went?
Yeah, he had to get ones that he was actually going to wear and ones for his head.
Yeah, there you go. It
proper headgear.
I think he was planning to buy a lot more boxers, though, by the fact that he took out $900. You know? He's like, I got to buy some boxers, a lot of boxers. Do they sell boxers at Walgreens? I don't think they do.
You know what? I don't think they do. I don't know. Maybe they sell really cheap ones. I don't know.
Were the boxers... So, where did he get the boxers from? Did he just have them with him?
Somehow this man ended up with boxer shorts on his head.
But two pairs.
Yes.
Because you said he was wearing a pair, right?
Yes.
And he put a pair on his head.
Yes.
So he was, like, prepared for this.
Either that or he bought it at the Walgreens.
I don't think Walgreens has boxers,
though. All right,
though.
Well, then he came prepared. I don't know.
I think that he's like, I'm going to go crazy today. I better bring a pack of boxers.
Even the cops say they have no idea what the reason was behind this. All right, I got another Florida story for you.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And this one is definitely a troubling one to report, but police in Caryville, Florida are on the lookout for a man who has been sexually assaulting goats.
I love this goat right now. Hey, 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 hey. It's not cool. That goat was consenting. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. So why? That's just messed up.
Yeah. Florida woman Sharon Cruz Piscina believes with 100% certainty that a man is sneaking into her goat's pen at night and having his way with them.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Poor goats.
Cruz Piscina first bought herself some goats 5 years ago for the purpose of farming them for their milk, which is easier for her lactose intolerant husband to digest rather than cow's milk.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
you're in lactose intolerance.
Yeah, a little bit. I should try some goat's milk.
There you go. You might want to look into
goat's milk. Goat's cheese. Goat cheese is pretty good.
As well, you might want to look into goat's milk.
Yeah, apparently you can get camel milk, too. They still don't allow it to be legally sold in the U.S. Like, it hasn't passed, like, USDA or whatever.
Okay, there you go.
Anyway, I saw it
the more you know.
I saw it on the Discovery Channel once. They had, like, they were interviewing camel farmers. I'm like, who farms camels? Right? But anyway, so goat's milk.
Well, anyway, that's the reason why she has goats on her property.
Right.
She recently noticed something was amiss when her goats began to appear swollen. She says she
God.
has... She says she has evidence in the form of photos and barbed wire that were found in her goat pen. Other neighbors also report that their animals have been attacked as well.
What the hell is going on in this place?
Yeah. Cruz Priscina added that she's contacted the police and that they've even done a rape kit on one of their animals. So,
oh my gosh.
This guy
I feel bad for these animals.
Yeah, this guy needs to stop. In a really weird development too, sex with an animal only became a misdemeanor as recently as 2011 in Florida, but the law itself still has, quote, an oral sex loophole.
Look.
Yes.
Look, hold on.
I love this goat right now.
Not that much. I'm not sticking that in any animal's mouth, all right?
A bill that was supposed to make this a felony failed in the Florida legislature.
How?
What?
Some guy was sitting there going, no, I think I'm going to keep having oral sex with my farm animals.
I love this goat right now.
How do you vote against it?
Oh, God, that's so wrong.
Yeah.
Is it both ways? Is it both giving and receiving oral sex?
I think so.
That's just, why?
Yeah.
That's super gross.
So, there you go. Only
Florida. What is wrong with you people?
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Stop 69ing farm animals. We shouldn't have to say things like that.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
No, it's not. It's the opposite of that. But knowing the internet, there's probably a Rule 34 of it.
I would like to know what are the state legislators that actually voted against the bill that was supposed to make this a felony in 08.
Yeah, if I lived in that town, I would find out who voted against that and never vote for that person again.
Yeah.
That's so, like, I want to know what the reasoning was.
Yeah, this is America!
This is America, and we have rights protected by the Constitution and the amendments, and one of our rights is to handle our farm animals any way that we want.
Ugh.
They're like, you can't have sex with them, but oral sex, that's where I draw the line.
It's only a misdemeanor, by the way. So I don't know what the hell.
Yeah, it's like a slap on the wrist. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
You raped a goat. Oh, well. I feel bad for those animals. Like,
yeah, they need to find out who the hell this crazy guy is.
And apparently he's like doing it to a bunch of animals, too.
Yeah.
Because he said the neighbor or somebody else was complaining about it as well.
Right. So this guy is on the loose in Florida. So, ugh.
Oh, Florida, keeping it classy.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Oh, you know, speaking of keeping it classy, here's this Florida story. Walton County officials in Florida have arrested a woman on shoplifting charges after they found her cell phone and a puddle of her urine at the crime scene. Boy, yeah, keeping the class. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Deputies responded Friday afternoon to a call at an Ann Taylor store at an outlet mall in Destin, Florida. A store employee told officers that several security tags had been removed from the merchandise. Next to those tags was a cell phone. After determining the cell phone belonged to 27-year-old Brooke Amber Sutton, deputies then contacted her husband, who gave police a description of her vehicle. A short time later, a deputy spotted the vehicle in the mall's parking lot. Sutton was behind the wheel. The deputy claims that they discovered six pairs of designer jeans worth more than $1,000 stolen from Saks Fifth Avenue.
Wow.
They also found more than another $1,000 in costume jewelry and clothing from Ann Taylor.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, she was just sitting in the parking lot?
Yeah.
Why didn't she just leave?
Right. Isn't this time to make your getaway?
Yeah, you got away with it. Just leave. Just drive away.
She was admiring them so much. Whew. I can't believe I did this.
Long enough for people to catch her.
Sutton was arrested on two counts of felony retail theft and taken to the county jail. During a police interview, she admitted that she entered the Ann Taylor store and bringing numerous items into a dressing room. She then confessed to removing price tags and security devices and leaving the store with 18 items she did not pay for and admitted to urinating on the floor.
What was that? What was the point of that? I don't like this store. Take
just,
that.
Yeah, just the an extra little insult, you know? Like, ha, take that.
Yeah.
Urine. Apparently she shouts urine as she goes, urine! Urine! That would make public bathrooms really awkward. You just walk in and somebody's like, urine! I dare everyone to do that. The next time you're in a public bathroom, just shout urine.
I produce urine!
Yeah,
sounds like urine Superman.
Guy. Yeah, what was his name?
Urine
Man or something? Or
yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I produce urine. Why did she... I guess she just said, I can't hold it any longer. I'm going to go right here, right now.
And I guess she hates Ann Taylor.
Apparently. Well, why was she stealing from them then?
Black market?
Black market?
She's going to sell it on the black market? I don't know.
Okay, yeah, sure, why not?
It was $1,000 worth of items.
That's true. That's true.
All right. I got one more Florida story for you to end the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida and they're crazy.
And boy, this one, this story, this guy has no idea how police officers work.
Okay.
A man is facing charges after he claimed to be a police officer. And then demanded oral sex from a woman at the local Lucky 7 Food Mart.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
That's awful. I want to know what his excuse was. Ma'am, I heard that there was a crime over here, and part of my investigation requires you to perform oral sex on me.
Yes.
You may begin. Commence at once. I don't know why he's like you speaking so properly. You may begin. Start. Chop, chop. Post haste. Commence sucking. So, I'm assuming that she didn't go along with it.
All right. Now, a real officer that was on his routine patrol.
He goes, wait, we can do that? He's like, oh my God.
I guess I didn't read the handbook.
Yeah. It's like in fine print on the last page. You can legally make anyone suck your yeah.
I know it's something to do with, sex.
I was going to say an offensive word that I'm not allowed to say.
All right, so a real officer was on his routine patrol when he saw 68-year-old Roger Wayne Runyon poking a woman in the chest near the front of the store.
Poking her in the chest?
Yep.
What the hell's going on here?
He's like,
come on. Come on, suck. Suck me. Like, what is... Like, is he just like, come on. Come on.
Runyon claimed that the woman, who was identified as Teresa Sessions, had walked up to his car. Sessions told police that Runyon had waved her over to his car and offered her $20 for oral sex.
At least she was offering to pay.
When she refused his offer, he told her that, surprise, I'm a police officer, and that, quote, I'm going to take you to jail if you don't give me that oral sex.
Wow.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Take her to jail for what?
I love how he says, surprise!
Yeah, you know, like, surprise!
Gotcha!
Yeah, gotcha. You know? Oh, you should have seen the look on your face, but seriously, get on your knees.
I know it's something to do with, sex.
Oh my God, that's awful. Oh my God.
When the real cop showed up and investigated him, they found that Runyon had a badge around his neck. Police said that the badge. Love this part.
Okay.
The police said that the badge around his neck. First off, most police officers don't wear the badge around the neck.
Yeah.
Only like DEA officials or like ATF.
Yeah.
You know, something with like federal credentials wear like something around their neck.
A right.
Local cop doesn't wear his badge on his
neck. No, not at all.
They don't do
all.
That. All right, so first off, he has the badge on his neck.
What's he think? This is like a TV show or something?
Yeah. And his badge read, quote, Florida Investigator Concealed Permit Unit.
What does that even mean? Concealed yeah. Permit Unit.
It's not a concealed permit you're wearing around your neck.
Oh, my God. Wow. He really put, there was like little to no effort put into that.
No, no. Florida Investigator Concealed Permit Unit.
If you are going to impersonate a law officer, which is a big crime.
Yes.
At least give it 100%.
Do some research.
Especially if you're going to try and get a blowjob from somebody. Come on. Lack of effort.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
I like also how he says, I'm going to arrest you if you don't give me a blowjob. For what? What's the crime? Not giving a blowjob? First degree not blowing me? It was predetermined that you weren't going to blow me? Like how?
First degree blue balling.
There you go. What a heinous crime.
Yeah, man.
That's like
stand.
A special victims unit crime right there. In New York City. Members of an elite task force. Or whatever it is.
Yes. It's time for Florida Investigators Concealed Permit Unit.
Such a catchy title.
It was a tough beat. And I needed...
I needed a tough beat.
I needed some relief. It was a long day. My badge was hanging around my necklace. I was sitting I was sitting outside the local food mart when I needed some relief. A hot woman was over near the food mart and I poked her in that chest. And I said, hey, you need to help me out or you're obstructing justice.
Yes, she's obstructing justice. I love how you're just sitting outside a food mart and you're like, I could use some relief. What are you doing outside the food mart that you're in that position in the first place?
Coming up next on the Florida Investigator Concealed Permit Unit.
Oh, my God. Oh, Florida Investigator Concealed
Permit Unit. FICPU. FICPU. Coming up. I work for FICPU.
Everything about this story is amazing. FICPU.
Yes. Come tonight on NBC.
Law and Order FICPU. In Florida, an elite task force called the Florida Investigator Concealed Permit Unit make it their job to get blowjobs from strangers.
They work a tough beat. They need the relief after work. Located at your local Lucky 7 food mart.
What, the entire unit is just based out of the food mart? I'm so confused about this show right now.
Yes, that's their headquarters. Yes. It's just Lucky 7 food mart.
I bagged another perp. What'd she do this time? She didn't blow me. Booker Lou. it's a hit drama coming to NBC.
I forgot the last portion of this story.
Oh, okay. Yeah, how did this all resolve? We kind of got off on a tangent there.
Yes. So the cops actually confronted him as to why he was in the area and asked him what he was working on. He said, quote, I am an official and I am...
Well, thank God we cleared that one up. I'm an official. Oh, very well then. Continue. He just goes back to jabbing this woman in the chest.
He said, quote, I'm an official and I am now invoking my Fifth Amendment right. We are
what?
Done talking. I don't like you or your department.
What is this department? The entire police force?
Like whatever part of the police force that isn't part of the Florida Investigator Concealed Permit Unit.
Oh my God. I'm invoking my Fifth Amendment right.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how it works.
So Runyon is now facing charges of battery, impersonation of a police officer, and procuring for prostitution.
If you had just gone for the prostitution without the impersonating a police officer, it probably wouldn't be that serious. Yeah, because impersonating a police officer is a super serious crime, apparently.
Yeah. Pretty sure it's a felony.
I think it is. Well, you live and you learn.
Unless you're a part of the Florida Investigator Concealed Permit Unit.
Oh my god. I love it. I can't wait for that to air on NBC.
Rocking the streets with their Fifth Amendment rights.
They live above the law.
And they don't like other cops in their own unit.
They're very territorial when it comes to the Lucky Seven Food Mart.
Hey!
Now they're like a street gang or something.
All you pigs, don't you come around the Lucky Seven Food Mart.
Yeah.
That's our turf.
This is our turf here.
This is our case. Don't you supersede our case here. We're doing a deep undercover prostitution sting.
Yeah, very deep.
Yes, we're actually so deep we're part of it.
Yeah. We're now pimps.
Yes.
Whoops. It's all part of the job in the thick poo.
Tune in this Friday for Florida Investigator Concealed Permit Unit.
Oh, my God.
Right after Boy Meets World.
Hey, Sean! It's like a heartwarming moment. Do-do-do-do-do.
Up next. Thick poo.
I love how there's like not a lot of room for expanding though. Every episode is just the same thing. They try and get a blowjob from a random stranger and then arrest that stranger when they won't do it.
Yeah.
Oh.
8:30, Boy Meets World. 9:00, Florida Investigator Concealed Permit Unit. I think that's a winning lineup.
Oh, I definitely think so.
And there you go, folks. That's what I have for you in this week's non-fortune cookie odd news. Before we officially wrap this up, let's go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
I learned that Law and Order Thick Poo is coming to NBC this summer.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a big hit drama, Rich.
I think so.
Lots of action and tension. Tension that needs to be relieved. They can only get relief one way. That's the task of the Thick Poo.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. Speaking of the Florida Investigator Concealed Permit Unit, which I didn't know was a thing, I also didn't know that cops are legally allowed to make people perform blowjobs on them.
Yeah, or else they'll be charged with blueballing.
Yeah, little known fact. All cops should read that part of their handbook.
Yeah.
It's on page 69. That was a bad joke.
I see what you did.
That was a bad one. There's a lot of oral sex in this. Florida legislators like to have oral sex with farm animals.
Somebody does, apparently.
Well, they shot down legislation to prevent it.
Yeah.
I mean, God. Florida. Both the stories. Florida, the state of oral sex. It's shaped like a penis. Like, what do you expect from a state shaped like a penis?
That's right.
Come on.
That is right.
Oh, something that doesn't have to do with that, though. I also learned that as a kid, I would drive myself to church and then pick up my drunk parents.
What a good son you are.
Yeah, it was a blast. 9 years old, driving around the streets, not being able to see over the steering wheel. Good times.
Integrity.
Integrity? Sure, why not? That's what I learned. Have you learned anything, Rich?
I think that sums it up. Between that and how much I know about Boy Meets World, I didn't realize it.
You like pulled that out of nowhere, like instantly. You like citing episodes in season 3, episode 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. I totally forgot that I was a big Boy Meets World fan.
Yeah.
So, there you go. That's what I've learned, and I think that's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
I also learned this.
Oh, yeah. We all forgot about
I forgot about
ice
that.
Cream tasting man.
That's
so a 10. Weird.
That's a 10.
That's
definitely.
A 10.
Definitely. Definitely.
When the ice cream is making you do that, it's a 10.
Yep. That's how you know.
And hopefully this podcast, you'll rate it a 10.
Yes.
Because I thought this was a good episode. If you want more on the craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
Oh, that's right. I'm thinking awful things.
Oh, okay. All right.
If you want more about the view, blah, I can't even talk now because I'm thinking awful things. You can also subscribe to our channel on. God damn it!
You want me to take it? You're good.
No, I got it.
You need to go into the corner.
No, I'm fine. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Where you can find videos of our best bits, interviews, other fun stuff that we've put up there. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free, straight to your computer, phone, or tablet. You can listen to us at home, on the go, at work, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
Yes, make sure you do the iTunes hookup. Another thing, we have a SoundCloud page where you can find the mini noodles, which are the best bits of the show, condensed into a little promo that you can share with friends, families, other officers on the beat in the Florida.
Yep. Investigator.
Investigative.
Concealed permit unit.
Yeah, there you go.
The thick poo. I love the thick poo.
The thick poo. Yeah. Share it with them.
Definitely.
It's easy to share with everyone the craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. If you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. That's how you find us on the Twitters. Folks, this is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. I think that's going to do it for us for this episode.
Yeah, great episode.
Yep. That'll do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
What's the deal with the podcast? What's going on? It's just crazy. It's wild. It's the Crispy Noodle 2016. Oh my gosh.